Now, something happened yesterday at the vigil mass that just meant that God showed me a great love. I was thinking all day Saturday about how to frame the preaching. It is always a temptation to me as a teacher to want to teach, communicate ideas, but preaching is something different. It's a communication of an experience, or perhaps the communication of a person. If I want to light fires in a heart, now just giving you instructions and categories will not work. I know that already, being a teacher myself. And I thought about all the homilies I've preached about the Holy Trinity in the past years, and I said, what do I emphasize? What do I not emphasize? That was my frame of mind when I came to church for Mass. Usually the homily is not set because the Lord can mess with me every time. So when I opened the Mass, like I just did a few minutes ago, I was given an image of the Most Holy Trinity, something I did not think about all day. And in doing so, I figured the Lord was setting a tone for the direction I should take this weekend, and I have essentially preached in the same fashion. And this is what I sensed, or what I felt, or what I saw. God the Father seemed to have said to me, tell my people that I have two hands. One is my Son, and one is my Spirit. Whenever they come to me in church, I embrace them. Anytime we come to worship, it is coming into the eternal embrace of the Most Holy Trinity. Present the mystery of my love and my inner life that way to the people, so they understand that the church is a mysterious extension of the Most Holy Trinity in history. The church is not just about fulfilling an obligation or coming here. The church is coming home to God, for he made us for himself, and we are restless until we rest in him. So coming to church suggests a mystery deeper than any one of us. Coming home would be the term that I would describe it by, and coming home to no place except to God himself. That is what this is about. So the best way to approach the mystery of the Most Holy Trinity is not just understanding the mystery, but for really we cannot really understand. Our finite minds cannot understand the profundity of the landscape of the Godhead. But God invites us to step into the mystery through celebration and worship. And then standing within the mystery like we're doing right now, we can understand the mystery from within through the experience of God's love. For scripture says, God so loved the world that he has made you and I members of his family in Christ through baptism. So when we come together, it is not just about me and you. It is not even about the priest. It is about heaven coming down to kiss us, to embrace us and bring out the best in us. That is why we feel good. That is why nothing should make rules for us here, because it is not about men. It is about heaven. Tell me why going home should hurt you. Tell me how coming into God's embrace should kill you. Tell me why anyone should make rules for us coming to church and worshiping, who understands the profundity of what happens here, that mystery is lived in celebration. That's why we call the Mass the Eucharistic celebration. We live the mystery when we celebrate. That is the best way to approach it, to feel that divine embrace. There is nothing like it. So we're not just celebrating the Godhead or the inner life of God, but we're celebrating the profound blessing we have in being called Christian. We form family with God. Jesus is the window into the Trinity, and he has invited you and I to come into the Father's embrace. That, essentially, is what today means. Anyone who understands that profound meaning of church will see that the church is in exile at this moment. The church is like in a cave. She has been subjected to the whims and caprices of men, whether she understands it or not. No man should tell God how to meet his people, or how to love his people, how to touch us or bless us. It is beyond any one of us. So today, let us perhaps historically situate the celebration of the Most Holy Trinity. Now, this celebration, 1 week after Pentecost, celebrates the first set of baptisms after Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, according to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 41, Peter preached to an assembly of a bunch of Jews who had gathered in the city for the celebration of Pentecost, which was an agrarian feast. Peter preached to so many, and 3,000 were converted on the day of Pentecost. And they go back to the upper room with Peter and the 12 apostles, and for 1 week they receive instructions. And then the next Sunday after Pentecost, they were all baptized according to the instruction of the Christ. Go ye, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. All those who were converted were baptized on this day. From the day of Pentecost, 3,000 were converted. By the day they were baptized, there was 5,000. 1 week, the church had 5,000 members. That is why we celebrate the Most Holy Trinity on this Sunday, 1 week after Pentecost, celebrating the first week of the life of the church. 5,000 came in 1 day. I wonder how many came the next week. Now, next week, we celebrate Corpus Christi, the body and blood of Christ. And all of them who came in were instructed 1 more week, and they were given the Most Holy Eucharist the next Sunday. That's why we will celebrate Corpus Christi next Sunday. What we're celebrating now ties to the very foundation of the life of the church. Isn't it true that the first thing we teach our children regarding our faith is the sign of the cross? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Do you realize that that is a summary of the entire creed we say, either the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed we say at Mass on Sunday? That is the shortest form of our faith. The entire plan of salvation is a revelation of God as Father in creating the world, God as Son in redeeming the world, and God as Spirit in sanctifying all of history and leading humanity back to the Father. The plan of salvation is a summary of the revelation of the Most Holy Trinity. Who has revealed the Holy Trinity to us? The fullness of it we learn from Jesus himself. But we can glean the teaching about the Holy Trinity in everything from the beginning of Holy Scripture, even in the book of Genesis. We need to look to ourselves first to understand this mystery. For God created us in his image and likeness. Let me point to you first, the book of Genesis. In the book of Genesis, Scripture says in Genesis 1:1, the earth was a formless void, and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. The Spirit of God was the agency through which creation took place. In the new creation, Luke says that the Holy Spirit overshadowed the Blessed Mother, and then Jesus was conceived in her womb. You can see that creation and recreation follows the very same tone. God, having created the world in beauty and splendor, fashioned man from virgin dirt, so to speak. Adam was created from the earth. And God gave him control over the garden, giving him the duty to take care of it, to tend it. But man was found to be alone. And God created a woman out of the side of the man, not from the earth, not from the dirt. Because man was a copy of God, who is Father and Source. God is not male. God is Father because he is source of everything you see, everything you survey. Man is male because there must be some kind of a tension between man and woman, resolvable in love. So man is a copy of God the Father, even though he is male, but he represents God as source. He gives the seed. Everything was created for a reason. The woman came out of the man, just like we say in the creed, that Jesus is God from God, light from light, true God from true God. So Adam would say the same thing. This is flesh of my flesh and bone of my bones. She will be called woman, for she was taken out of the man. Just like the woman came out of the man, the Son of God was eternally begotten of the Father. Not created, eternally begotten. So man and woman reflect the inner life of the Trinity in the union of the Father and the Son. The love of Father and Son gives rise to the Holy Spirit, and the love between a man and a woman gives rise to children. The family is supposed to be a copy of the inner life of God himself. So when Scripture says God created man in his image and likeness, it's not just man as male, but man as man and woman with the possibility of having children. And that is why anyone who suggests, as it is the case today, that a man can be married to a man is suggesting a complete slap and a rebellion against God's order and plan as laid out in Scripture and tradition. It is the greatest act of rebellion against faith in the Most Holy Trinity and also the order that has been set by God himself. And I can tell you, my friends, everything means something. God did not intend for a man to be married to a man. People can scream it all they want today, but I know it is not true. But God does not lie. He cannot change his mind after 2,000 years. It is only the invention, the crookedness of humanity that results into that direction. If you look at the Old Testament, God begins to reveal himself to men, to prophets and patriarchs. In the first reading, we have the encounter of Moses. Moses is about the only human being who has been said to see God face to face. For Scripture says, no man sees God and lives. But Moses is the greatest prophet of all men born of women, not like the Christ. The Christ is God. He is prophecy in himself. But Moses spoke to God face to face as man to man. In the first reading, Moses encounters God on the mountain, and God declares himself to Moses, I am a compassionate God, I'm forgiving, I'm loving. And Moses cries, Lord, come with us on this journey to the promised land. God speaks to Moses as man to man. Even then, Moses' understanding of God is the one God. Israel has the faith in one God. In all of history, only Israel has the consciousness of a monotheistic God. God is one. It is therefore in Christ that we have the concept of a Trinitarian God. It is Jesus who tells us of the Father who sent him. As the Father sends me, so I send you. When you pray, he says, pray like this, Daddy, who lives in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Do not just call God Father in terms of a formal title. Call him Papa. He is your Father. It is Jesus who welcomes us into the intimate life of God in the Godhead through the Trinity. Jesus says he is the way. Then when it came to time for him to suffer and die, he told his friends that he will ask the Father, and he will send another advocate, the Spirit of Truth, who will lead them to the fullness of truth. It is Jesus who points to the Holy Spirit as a distinct person within the Godhead. And then when he commissions his disciples after the ascension, he tells them, remain in Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father. And then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Samaria, and Judea, and to the ends of the earth. Then he commands them, go ye make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As though he was saying, anyone who believes you and your word from me, insert them into the family of God through baptism. That is why we have the right to come here and to worship. That is the meaning of stepping into those doors. We step outside time into eternity. The business of the church is the business of heaven, not just the business of safety. There is nothing like the embrace of the Father through the Son and the Spirit, which is why we're here. Yes, the Son feeds us, the Spirit anoints us, but we come home to God. For St. Augustine said that, you know, God made us for himself. We find no rest until we rest in him. That doesn't just suggest dying, but coming home to God is a resting that we all need. That's why coming to church is not something we can choose. We don't wait for the bishop to place the obligation or to lift it if we know what it is. No one one should tell you to come home to God's embrace, if you know what it is. What is happening today just reveals to me that so many people have not understood the church. It is not because, you know, when we look at our children and many don't come to church, you know what I think? What about the quality of the faith of the parents? If parents truly believe and know what we believe, why would the children not believe? There is something wrong with the quality of faith today. I can really see it. Don't blame one generation. It is our collective responsibility. If this means something to you, it will mean something to your children, everyone around you. If it doesn't mean anything to you, your children will see through you and they will not believe. The faith has been handed on from one generation to the other. It is just a way of life. It is not even something we should teach. It is the way we live. You live in it, your children live in it, and that's just the way it is. They ask you questions, you explain it to them. Why do we do this? Then you teach them. But when we don't even live it, they will not even ask the questions, they will not even come. We have really been tested these days, my friends. It's really clear to me those who believe because they believe and they're convinced. And those who just follow, who wait for everyone to tell them what to do or what to think, and then they have an opinion themselves. Anyway, let's go back to the subject of the Trinity. Let me give you a summary of the theology of the Holy Trinity. Forgive me, but I'll try to not sound like a professor. If I was going to give this lecture in a class, I could teach it for 5 hours and sound very smart. But for the purpose of a homily, I'm going to summarize it. God the Father is origin from nothing. That means there was nothing before him. He is the beginning of everything there is. So in theology, God the Father is called origin in himself. He is called Father because he is source, not because he is male. God is beyond any sex. So God is Father because he is source. Jesus Christ is understood as origin from origin, God from God, light from light, true God from true God. He is begotten. He is not made. He is not a creature. He is one substance with the Father. Everything the Father has, the Son has. Jesus is eternally begotten from the moment the Father existed. If you can say that of the Father, he never did not have his Son or his Word. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son as from one source and in one act, which the church calls spiration. We say that in the creed. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is adored and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We profess that every Sunday. So the church teaches that in the Most Holy Trinity, we have three persons, or you can say three distinct operations. But one substance, one power, but three persons, for want of a better word. This is just an attempt to scratch the surface of the mystery. The Father is creator, the Son is redeemer, and the Spirit is sanctifier. But there is only one God, but three persons in the English language. In Greek, you will talk about three hypostases. It's a big sounding word. So we have experienced God in three ways. But we have the problem of language to describe this mystery. That's why I tell you, understanding it is one thing. Living it is what God wants us to do. For our human and finite minds cannot explain all of it or understand all of it. Now, most of the fathers of the church have attempted to explain the Trinity in different ways. St. Patrick of Ireland used the clover leaf to explain the Trinity. That worked. But within sophisticated circles, that will not work. Some have used the rain, for instance. You know, the rain falls from the clouds. So the origin of the rain would be the clouds, and then you can see it falling. Then you can see it collecting like the water in the grass. They can see three distinct levels of the of rain coming down. Some have used the sun. You know, if you come outside when it is sunny, you can feel the effect of the sun on your skin. If you stay out for too long, you get cooked, right? So you can distinguish between the source of the light from the sun itself, the rays, and also its point of impact and the heat it produces. You can distinguish three different operations, but from the same sun. I think St. Augustine has the most interesting explanation of the Trinity using the human person and human faculties. Augustine says that we have two basic drives, or movements, if you like, the drive to know and the drive to love. One is founded on the mind, the other in the will. When we know, when we abstract, when we try to understand something, we come up with an idea, or you can call it a word. So Augustine says, when God knows himself, his self-knowledge is perfect. It produces a word, and that word is his son. And this is why John's gospel says, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word is God. Then the word became flesh, built his house in our community, and we saw his glory as the only Son of the Father, full of light and truth. Augustine also says that when God loves himself, his self-love is perfect, and that produces the Holy Spirit. So in God, there are two basic movements, or two hands, or two arms: knowing himself and loving himself. We are made in his image, so we know and we love. These are distinct powers situated in our souls. In understanding the human mind, Augustine also discerns the understanding of the Trinity. But in all my explanations, my friends, at the end I still remind you that this is a mystery. All the explanations put together does not attempt to go into the mystery itself. It only scratches the surface. But what is the point of our celebration? Recalling that so many souls were brought into the church on this day, I want to remind you that God is a family of persons, and into that family we have been inserted by Christ through his incarnation, first by his taking flesh, and second by the gift of baptism and faith in him. We now belong to God's family. That is the meaning of the word church. Even church as idea, even church as worship. That is what this is about. Coming into the embrace of the Father. It defines us. It makes us feel good. There's that mystery. You cannot explain what it is. But when you live, you know you are not the same like when you came. Scripture tells us in the gospel that God so loved the world that he sent us his son to be the way into the mystery of the life of God, but to invite us all to share in that inner life. That is why God so loved the world. God does not do that for any other creature but for man. You know what that reminds us? It reminds us of how good we are. Even if we're faithless and hopeless, if God loves us, we are good. His love makes us good. His invitation, come to me, makes us good. His loving embrace through Christ and the Holy Spirit makes us good. And that is the meaning of church, my friends. You should go home and jump up and sing and dance, for God so loved the world. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.